I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 6 to 13, from 6 to the end of the chapter there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1256 in the Pew Bibles. It's the last installment on our series on Thanksgiving. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. Here's what God's word says to us there. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, and in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? As we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. We thank the Lord for his word this morning, and let's pray with thanks for it, having heard it read and as it's about to be ministered to us this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask that for Jesus' sake and by the power of your Spirit that you would accept our prayers of thanks, that we could have this portion of your word read publicly, we could be here publicly and corporately and do so unto your praise and even for our own edification that way as we see brothers and sisters together here. And we'd ask that your Spirit may be at work too as your word is ministered, that it may be the gospel that's ministered, and that we might be recipients of it to such an end that it may show forth, Lord, in our faith and our hope and our love to which you've called us in Christ. We'd ask that you'd accept our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a few years ago I started hearing, and maybe it happened a long time before that already, but a few years ago I started hearing people saying things like this: I don't have a life. Or where some people might even accuse somebody else and saying things like this: you need to get a life. Well, we recognize today what that means. Either people are too busy to do anything except whatever it is they're doing, and they just can't get to anything else, or some people are so stuck in the trivial that they need to find something better to do with their time. They need to get a life. At the same time, and this is something I've heard a lot since I was young, and you've heard it too, where people will say, this is the life. This is the life. That goes back a lot longer. There's something enjoyable about whatever it is that you're doing, something relaxing, something relieving. And so you say that. This is the life. The Apostle Paul, who had a very parental care for God's people, expresses something very similarly, doesn't he, here? He expresses this comforting kind of experience when he discovers that those he had left behind in Thessalonica kept the Christian faith. Now we live. This is the life. It brings thanksgiving to his heart to no end, to know that the Lord is at work in these people. And he wants them to know as soon as possible, as he immediately writes back about the joy of their faith and love that comes his way, and he becomes the recipients of those things. He could hardly wait to write back and let them know. This has been a time where we've been considering the call to Thanksgiving in many of its facets. We've mentioned that we're to have the spirit of Thanksgiving in all circumstances, maybe not for all circumstances, but certainly in them. And in our charity, in our prayers. Thanksgiving Day, we talked about how we are to have that spirit of Thanksgiving in our worship, particularly as we ordinarily find ourselves and trying to be faithful to in our own congregations, to be expressing our thanksgiving to God, where we are a member. And what an expression of thanks that even is to everybody else when we see one another in worship in the places where we are members. And today, we talk about the calling to Thanksgiving for Christian communion, for the communion of the saints. A thanks to be expressed to God, to be sure, but also a thanks that is expressed to those who have evidenced the benevolence of God by way of the faith and the love of others in the Christian communion. Paul gives thanks for the church because of faith and love that were reported to him, the comfort it gave him in the midst of his afflictions, and he couples it with loving supplication for the Christian communion, and we're going to talk about those three things this morning just for a few minutes. Thanks is given because faith and love is reported to Paul by his colleague and spiritual son, Timothy. Now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For that reason, brother, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. The Apostle Paul didn't get to spend a whole lot of time in Thessalonica because he was basically run out of there. Not as much as he would have liked because of afflictions that he knew there, but as he proclaimed the gospel. But it was long enough to develop a very deep-seated love for God's people there. And as I mentioned earlier, and I had a chance to speak about this to the Mid-America students a week ago, it was also a time then in which he pens to the Thessalonians that he viewed them as his spiritual children. Affectionate was he to them like a gentle mother, but he was also like a father who was exhorting them to live a certain life, and that was a life worthy of the gospel of God. Well, now he's in Corinth, and even though he's there, it's kind of interesting, like we just sang a minute ago in that song, that it was actually the verse that we sang that was in a cappella. It said, "While when we're called to part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again." And Paul is in Corinth, but his heart's big enough to be found in Thessalonica too. He's parentally concerned spiritually about them. He's concerned about whether or not opposition to Christ that he knew and that these people were still going to know was going to dissuade them of gospel truths. Will it make the work of Paul all for nothing? Did I do it in vain? And that thought troubles Paul. It saddens him. Of course, in those days, you couldn't email or text or pick up the phone to find out how things were going. And the best thing that you could do then was to send a messenger. And so Paul couldn't stand it any longer, not knowing how things were going for them spiritually. He was having a hard enough time as it was with his own afflictions. He speaks about those here in our passage, in all our distress and affliction. That's what he's had his share. But he doesn't want to pile on with that. If he doesn't have to, if he can discover that all is spiritually well in Thessalonica. And now Paul receives word back from Timothy. As Timothy was sent by Paul, now it says Timothy has come to us from you. And so while Timothy was Paul's representative, now Timothy is the church in Thessalonica's representative, and that's a good sign. And Paul hears good news. Timothy is able to return with news that faith, love, and as we hear at the very beginning of the letter, hope as well, are all on display in Thessalonica. And that's why Paul writes, first of all, to them. And the first thing he says is, in the beginning of the letter, is, I thank God for your faith, hope, and love. That's what I wanted to hear. It's carrying out all the way to here because Timothy's given me the report about this. And so now he can't wait to write back to encourage them in turn. Well, we can learn a couple of things from this exchange of news between Paul and the Christian communion in Thessalonica. One thing that we can learn is that when it comes to the Christian faith, love and hope, in all of those virtues, there's nothing to be cryptic or hidden about it. You see, if you're a Christian person, there shouldn't be any doubt about it by those who see your Christianity. It shouldn't have to be called into question. If people have to investigate, like Sherlock Holmes, as to whether you are bearing fruit in keeping with repentance, or people have to coax a true confession of Jesus Christ out of your mouth, almost saying it for you, or if your character leaves people wondering what really makes your heart tick, should you be encouraged in your faith that way? Should it be surprising if somebody were reporting about you that you know what, people aren't quick to say, my thanksgiving just overflows because of the way in which I can see your faith is genuine and that your love is springing forth from a vibrant and vital faith with hope in your hearts? I mean, can you imagine what that would have done to Paul if Timothy had come back saying, well, you know, it was really hard to tell if the gospel had really made any impact on them, Paul. They really didn't care that I showed up and the reception was cool. And, you know, they were kind of glad when I left. They were kind of uncomfortable when I was in their midst. Seemed like they were relieved when I took off. But Timothy didn't have to guess about this. And people shouldn't have to guess about our Christianity, whether in the church or outside the church. The evidences of faith and hope and love need to be on display. For the Thessalonians, it would have been easier to just go along with that unbelieving, adversarial type of crowd. And in that sense, just forget about the church. Just forget about the gospel. Just forget about the apostle as if he had never been there. But they don't do that. They remember the apostle kindly. They wish they could see him just as much as he wanted to see them. And from what Timothy saw and reported to Paul, you could tell that from where he stood, you couldn't fake this faith. You couldn't fake this love. You couldn't fake this hope these people had. Now, maybe you've had that experience yourself. I know I have. I've had that experience. When I go back to churches that I have served in the past, I get that experience. Thankfully, the ways that we can connect with others today is greater than those which God's people could experience in biblical times. But what a blessing, you know, when we're able to see people in the faith that we haven't seen for a while. Either when we go there or they come here. You know, I'm thinking about that already, about this place, and I haven't even left yet. And I know that we as a family can take joy in where I'm going, where we're going. We have a couple here today from Dune. And they're part of that church in Dune to which we're going. And I was looking forward to seeing them. I haven't even been to Dune as their pastor yet, but I've gotten to know them. And I've been looking forward to seeing them here today, because we haven't seen each other for a while. But I know that I'll long for Oak Glen as well. I'm going to long to see my children. But I'm going to long to see Oak Glen. And that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be good riddance. It should be, I long to see you. And it is that way. And I have no other reason but to think that way. And I pray that's true with you in your Christian experiences when you have been recipients as we have been, as I have been, of the evidence of Christian love and faith and hope in the Christian communion. Virtues that when God is at work in people are not going to be hard to detect. And they're going to move people to thanks. Do you see that in yourself? That God's in work in you in such a way so that your faith and your hope and your love are evident for others to see that God's grace has been at work in you to be a blessing to other people. I've seen it in you. When His grace is at work in you, then it's an opportunity to give thanks in two different directions. The primary way is to God Himself, because we know that the fruit of these virtues have been brought to bear because they're people who are branches of the vine, connected to Christ, connected to life in God, by the Spirit of God. And here's why thanksgiving goes to God. Here's why the apostle would say, now we live if we're standing fast, if you're standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for you? From the outset of the letter, that's how it starts. The letter is laced with thanks. It's laced with encouragement. The recipient of Christian communion then, as we'll see more in a moment, has been so encouraged by Christian communion that he has to express thanks to God for it. And he does it in prayer, and he's no doubt doing it in other ways, in praise, in his attitude, in his life, in charity. But the thanksgiving to God is then also an encouragement to those who have been an encouragement with their faith, hope, and love. The apostle cannot wait to write them all. He is so encouraged by that. But as he writes, he makes sure that they know that he has given and he continues to give thanks to God for the way that the church in Thessalonica has been a blessing to him. Now, why does he do that? Why doesn't he just say thank you? Why does he give thanks to God, and why does he want them to know that he thanks God for them? Well, the reason for this is because he wants the church to know what a blessing they have been to him through the power and the presence of God in their lives. Nothing can be more encouraging in our lives than to know that God is with us. I wrote that in the next installment of the Oak Leaves, that we're entering into that season where we can remember all kinds of things about the coming of Christ. But one of the things for me that's going to be most celebratory is the fact that I can know that wherever I am, God is with me. That Emmanuel promise is there. That becomes very special to me, and I think to my family in these days. And this is why we often so often pray to God to be with someone, right? In their travels, in their losses, in their challenges, in their triumphs, in their trying times, in their everyday lives. Why? Well, it's like Moses would say to the Lord long ago, if your presence will not go with me, don't bring us up from there, or don't bring us up from here. If you're not going to be there, if you're not with us, then our courage melts away. The Lord would say to Joshua later, be strong and courageous, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Thessalonians were still facing troubles. They were still facing challenges. They were still facing adversaries. They were still being afflicted. They were still in need of encouragement, and that's partly why he writes, and he's going to talk more about that in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And they're still in need of growth, as is true for us all. Don't we all need that repeated encouragement that the Lord is with us wherever we go? Isn't that the very last thing we hear at a worship service? That's why we don't want to just bug out. Let's go get coffee ready. We want to hear the benediction. We want to hear that good news. The Lord bless you and keep you. The grace of the Lord be with you. We don't want to leave before that. God be with you. You know, that's what people used to say, right? We probably mentioned that before too. You know, goodbye is just a shortened version of God be with you. Isn't that what you want to hear when you leave from others? You may not always be able to be with other people, but isn't it most important to know that you're always with God? Thanksgiving goes directly to God, but indirectly to God's people. For our encouragement and the encouragement of others. Don't be afraid to encourage the Christian communion for the many ways that God has been at work in her. She needs that encouragement. Thanks for the Christian communion comes also because of comfort in affliction. Paul says that he really lives now that he sees that the Christians in Thessalonia or in Thessalonica are holding fast in the Lord. He means that he's overjoyed. He's relieved. He's rejoicing. He's so happy to hear that truth. There isn't any joy when people fall away from the faith. Nobody gets any pleasure about hearing people disobeying God or living in unbelief or where their faith has turned out to be phony or short-lived or where it's like the seed that's sown where it falls and it brings a short-term joy or a faith that's choked out by the worries of life. But for Paul, when he sees faith and love and hope at work, and particularly as it's directed towards him, when he hears about the church remembering him, or the kindness that they show, or how they can't wait to see him, well, that's just what the spiritual doctor ordered. That's just what the Apostle Paul needed to hear. Being together is such an edification for the Church of Jesus Christ. We have these many separations in this area during the week. You know, when you live in a rural environment, and those of who are here who do know this, you tend to see everybody a lot more often than you do in an urban one. And so when we live in this suburban environment like we do, we have these mini separations in this area during the week when we're all over the place. And then we get a chance to get together. We get to get a chance to get together in worship. You know, again, you know, and that when we think about that in terms of our membership here and being faithful in our own congregation, that's such an encouragement. When we're here together. And then we get opportunities to get in fellowship hall, or we get in corner church here or there, and we take joy in this gathering, in this face-to-faceness. We take joy, as we heard on Thanksgiving, is that being together in worship publicly and corporately isn't only a suitable thing, but it's an edifying thing for us to experience. Remember, even just having your presence here, what a blessing that is to everybody else. You know, a lot of times when we think about where we're going to worship, we're just thinking about ourselves. But do we think about where we are, what a blessing, what an edification, reason for thanks that is? These people long to see each other. Christian community has its benefits, which is why we want to supply them. Maybe it is the prayers of God's people. Maybe it's a card sent. Maybe it's a meal prepared. Maybe it's a word of remembrance. It's the interest that we show in somebody's life. The help that we're able to receive from a kind word, a phone call, an act of charity, of word or of deed. Or maybe just sitting in the pew in the church where we're a member. All of these fruits show forth Christian virtue. All these fruits show forth a display of faith and hope and love. All these fruits can have their benefits upon others, bringing comfort and joy to the hearts of those who face the challenges of the Christian life. So here also is why thanksgiving is shown, not just by what others are doing, but what others do to be of help to others within the Christian communion. And lastly, this thankfulness, as we have mentioned, leads to thanks to God. You know, we're to remember the role we get to play to be of blessing and benefit to others in their needs. But it's also a time for us when we see this thankfulness going on that prayer can be coupled with loving supplication, not only for thanksgiving. You love the people in the Lord for what they did, and you thank God for that. But then you also pray for more things and good things for them. Because he gives thanks as we pray more earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what's lacking in your faith. Paul is praying for what is lacking in a twofold way. Since he loves these people so much that he wants to see them, just like they want to see him, it fits that he's going to pray that he'll be able to see them. And that's his wish. He says, May our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. But then he also prays for what's lacking in their faith in a loving way as well. See, Christianity is not a private faith, is it? I hope and pray that you'll have many good experiences and that you've had many good experiences when you're truly glad to see God's people again. Especially when you've known their love and their faith personally and profoundly. One of the things that I have as a benefit, and I consider it that, I've had a chance to be in many different parts of the country. I've been in California, Kansas, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, now back to Iowa again. And when I see people whom I haven't seen in a long time, and I remember what they've meant to me in the faith, and I can go back in my time, and I can go back in my experience, I can go back in my memory, and I can see what they've done for me, it gives great pleasure to see them again. My wife had a chance to do that. I don't usually mention her off of here because I got to be careful with that. But she had that a couple of weeks ago when she went away to Iowa. She got to see people that she hadn't seen for a while. And she knew, and I knew, what they meant to us. And it was a blessing to see them again. It's no wonder that it makes sense to pray that we'll see people again in the faith, especially when they've been such a blessing. And I pray that you've had those kind of prayerful experiences and that you will. But Paul is also praying for what is lacking in the faith. Now, he's not saying that their faith is insufficient, but he's mentioning that there's always room for growth, and that's true for all of us. There's growth in love, there's growth in understanding what God has in store for his people. He's not only praying that he may be able to be of help that way in helping to supply what's lacking in their faith, but he's praying that the Lord may increase and abound in their love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish our hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. People needed help in Thessalonica to understand the implications of Christ's return. He's going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, isn't he? He doesn't want you guys to be ignorant about the coming of the Lord. So he explains some of those things. We should never be living our lives, Christian lives, as if we've reached our destination or as if we can say, okay, I've paid the debt to love and now it's somebody else's turn. There's always more to do. There's always room to go down the path. There's always more to understand. There's always room to grow in our faith. There's always more room to be a blessing, as God has been a blessing to us and as other people have. And that's so true when it comes to the thankful life, isn't it? So many ways to give thanks to the Lord, both directly and indirectly, as we praise our Lord and as we reflect his charity to others and as we express our thanks to him and to others for the way that God has used us to be a blessing in the communion of the saints, and how God has used others to be a blessing to us in the communion of the saints. We have much for which to be thankful. And it includes the Christian communion to which we're called to belong in Jesus Christ. Let's be thankful for Christian communion. Amen.